Hello, everyone. This is Liz from MediaDev, and today I am joined by one of our former employees, Joseph Indelos. I'm really excited to be able to speak with him today and learn all about what he's doing now. Hey, Joseph, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Liz.
It's a pleasure. So today's topic is how MediaDev provides employees with the skills they use for life. And I've been kind of doing a little series of podcasts with some former employees. So I'm very excited to be able to speak with Joseph today. So I'm going to just dive right into the questions. So Joseph, maybe you could start by telling our audience a little bit about your background. You know, what was your position when you were at MediaDev? And what skills did you acquire during your tenure with the company?
Oh, absolutely. So, yes, I'd say, you know, I'm really a sales and marketing professional by trade. So, but, you know, I have a keen interest towards data, so to speak. So I started as an IT lead generation specialist in media dev and then progressed as a business development account manager, which, you know, really gave me the ability to, you know, develop some of my skills towards hardware, software, SaaS, from a demand generation perspective. So, you know, I'd say one of the key things that MediaDev really helped me advance my career is to be able to understand the consultative way of, you know, solving business challenges, because, you know, we deal with a lot of, you know, companies, we deal with a lot of technologies, you know, solving problems for them, even just if it's just a small process within a small organization. And so, you know, being exposed to these kinds of technology solutions and value propositions truly helped me in my day-to-day tasks today, actually.
Awesome. And what are you doing now?
Yeah, so right now I'm a business development manager in a candidate intelligence solutions company, so data-driven recruitment. And then at the same time, I also handle a team of account managers, so our efforts are, you know, geared towards addressing North America market. Simultaneously, I'm also doing some consulting on the side with some, you know, partners, like client partners in the demand generation space. But, you know, I think the biggest thing for me right now is I'm slowly treading the path of becoming an entrepreneur.
Oh, that's awesome.
Setting up a diverse portfolio of, you know, local investments, and hopefully in the future, you know, I can also try to explore something international.
Great. So how did MediaDev help prepare you for the jobs that you have currently?
Yes, it's interesting because, you know, the experience that I had with MediaDev really, I think, was an eye-opener for me back then. So because, you know, I came from a really totally different industry. You know, I came from retail, and, you know, we're selling through Amazon. I was working for a manufacturer of heated apparel, actually, for snowboarding and other winter gear. So once you know, I joined you guys, I was like, oh, holy, this is totally different market. And, you know, there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of, you know, things to learn and consider. But I didn't, you know, took that as something that I would be, I'd have some failure along the way, because I took it as a challenge, basically, where it seems to be impossible to learn it from the get-go. But as long as you put your heart and soul to it, your focus, your determination, the mindset should be positive. You know, even though you came from a different background, gave me the opportunity to prove myself that I can learn the ropes of technical lead generation. So, you know, it really gave me the confidence. Before, I was so scared talking to an IT manager because I always think in the back of my head that they're going to ask some technical questions. But, you know, the reality is everything, even though it's highly technical in terms of, the value proposition, but you know, if you can, you know, relay the information in a layman's term, they would even better appreciate that, and you know, you guys can connect, and you know, you'll be able to help solve the problem. Yeah, so it helps really
absolutely. That's great. Yeah, no, I think that's a really good tip, and I want to anchor that in for our listeners, is that when you are able to describe a value proposition in layman's terms and not get too technical, that's when you really know your subject matter. And then you're much better at being able to convey that to your prospect, and that just builds your confidence naturally over time. And certainly you can have more natural conversations with prospects when you do that instead of, you know, sticking to reading a script, for example, which we, of course, never advise. So in your eyes, what are the most important skills that someone has to learn in order to get good at sales and marketing?
Yeah, so I think there are a few things that I learned throughout, you know, my entire career. So the first thing is I like to emphasize about fear and failure, because I grew up in, you know, in Philippines, where, you know, really failure is something, you know, kind of treated as a punishment, right? So it's a different, whole different culture, as opposed to, you know, treating failure as something that you can learn how to succeed in the future. So I'm now trying to grasp that that mindset, where, you know, fear and failure is part of the process. So whenever you overcome fear and failure, you know, these are really components which is part of the success that you'll be having in the future. You know, behind every curtain of fear and failure lies a successful story. So the moment you enable yourself to be more determined in reaching your goal, despite hurdles, despite roadblocks, you know, you don't see them as major obstacles. You know, this would be your foundation that you can build from, and then, you know, you use it as your leverage. So you do things differently in the future and be more productive. So the second piece, I think, is also a customer-centric mindset, because a lot of salespeople, especially the ones that starting with the career, you know, they want to really just close the deal and get commissions, and you know, don't really care about what's going to happen after sales, or you know, what's going to be the customer experience, so to speak. So in having a customer-centric mindset, this would help you understand what your customers' challenges are. So you got to practice empathy. So it should be on your DNA. So because if you see what your customer sees, you hear what they hear, it's like automatic to you, right? You know, you get what they truly want, and then that's where you focus your discussion with them, and that's where you actually really help them, not just providing features, but actually solving some of their challenges, right? And then I think the third piece for me is really the time, so the value of time, because, you know, understanding that time is finite, you know, hence it is the most valuable, for me, it's the most valuable asset there is, and in my opinion, more valuable than gold and silver. It will give you the sense of urgency, like, you know, the positive sense of urgency, where, you know, it will automatically have you respect the time given by your customers to you. So, for example, if you set up an appointment with a person, you know, he's very, you know, very busy type of guy, you know, gave you 30 minutes. You got to make sure that, you know, the 30 minutes is worthwhile, and you were able to provide value when you had a sales presentation or whatever type of conversation you'll be having. So, which in return, they would appreciate. They would like, oh, okay, so Joseph, you know, really respects my time, and that I think I'm gonna try, you know, working with him. So some things like that happens subconsciously, in my own opinion. And, you know, and also to add to this time piece, if you think about it, almost all of the solutions out there, you know, whether it's hardware, software, SaaS products, you know, all of these are really designed to automate and simplify tedious processes. So, which, you know, ultimately the end goal is to really save time and then the costs associated to it. So, and then also you help promote operational efficiency. So, you know, you'll see a lot of value proposition or case studies, customer success stories, how they're able to, you know, save a tremendous amount of time by just utilizing this particular technology. So just to kind of wrap it up, it's like, you know, first one is fear and failure. You gotta overcome it. Second is you should have the DNA of customer-centric mindset. And then the third would be, you know, making sure you value the time of everyone, including yourself.
Oh my God, I love those points. Those are amazing, like so spot on. And really, you know, I couldn't agree with you more about that shift in mindset that really needs to take place so that you can integrate that into your DNA, like you said, because that's really the key to being successful. So love that. Absolutely. And the next question that I have kind of, you know, touches on what you've just said. I mean, sometimes we have candidates, it's not even just employees, but, you know, candidates who apply, but they're afraid to actually take the leap and join us because they don't feel that they have the technical knowledge to do what we do. You know, what advice would you give to people that are in that, you know, state of mind?
Oh, yeah, it's interesting because, as I mentioned, I was from a different industry, you know, before joining MediaDev. And then, you know, my technical knowledge was pretty mediocre back then. So, but I took the leap of faith, and, you know, because I knew that I needed something to, you know, spearhead my growth. The comfort zone you currently have right now is good. You know, it can provide you a lot of the benefits. You know, and you know, you can simply go by your day without having to worry anything. But, you know, the reality is you won't be satisfied as you reach the plateau. So, but it's also a place that you can stop from growing. That's what I'm trying to get at, right? So I read a quote from Zig Ziglar that says, you know, don't become a wandering generality. Be a meaningful specific. So in order for you to become something that's unique, you know, there needs to be certain skill sets that you have to acquire to be, you know, to stand out and, you know, break through the noise, right? So, you know, keep cultivating the acquired knowledge. You know, don't be afraid to fail. You know, try to do things. Don't break the law, but break some rules. but you know, you'll realize that you're gonna break through and start growing from what you're currently in, and you know, you'll be more satisfied. And you know, and by doing that, in achieving different types of things will really bring you more satisfaction in life, and you help the community in general by providing valuable solutions across everyone.
That is so true. That is so true. I think that so many people, once they start hitting the edge of their comfort zone, they retreat back inside and they want to hide from that discomfort. But that's the only way to get real growth. So, yeah, absolutely agree. So for you, I mean, you've already kind of touched on some of the biggest takeaways. Is there anything else about your experience working with us that really has stuck with you over time? I mean, do you stay in touch with former employees? Is there, you know, any other skill that you kind of attribute to having, you know, had that experience at working with MediaDev that you would like to share today?
Oh, yeah. The environment with MediaDev really is like a family. You know, we still, up to now, you know, a few folks like Martin and Joey, those folks, Mike, we still hang out. We still get hammered sometimes. Just kidding. but yeah, I mean, the atmosphere is really you know, it's not really work, but really trying to get inside a room where you're going to be doing some trainings, and then you'll end up, you know, producing, and, you know, you'll end up acquiring new knowledge. So, which is, you know, I think a unique setup of a company. Also, another thing is, you know, you don't necessarily have to be a NASA scientist to be successful in doing IT marketing regeneration. You can improve your skill sets, which will help you achieve, you know, greater heights, not just in professional career, but also in real life, because, you know, you'll develop that keen sense of knowledge. Telemarketing, I still believe, is a form of human-to-human connection. So, you know, there's a lot of things that's out there, like artificial intelligence and machine learning and things like that. But, you know, I think there's a lot of value with telemarketing, and it shouldn't be seen as a difficult task, but rather, you know, something to, as a source of value to prospects and folks that are that you're trying to get in touch with. Yeah.
That's so true. I do think that we have some customers sometimes, you know, who are much more interested in digital marketing because they think like, oh no, telemarketing, like that's not good and it doesn't work. And, you know, how could you keep doing that? It's such an old school kind of tactic. But I agree with you. If you have the human interaction and you are able to engage a prospect, and that comes down to what you said before, which is, you know, how can I provide the most value to this person? You know, they've given me 30 minutes of their time. So how can I do that so that then, you know, we are able to really engage in a dialogue, and that dialogue can take us further so that we can do business together. And I think you can't get around telemarketing. I think it's an obligatory step. Like, it has to be done at some point in the process. I mean, you can generate leads for, you know, I don't know, content syndication and people download a white paper, but it's very impersonal. And that contact to contact that you have with somebody on the phone really is irreplaceable. I mean, like you said, you can have AI chatbots and all this kind of stuff, but there's nothing. I mean, I can't even tell you how many times too, when I'm looking for good service, like you just want to talk to a person. And I think that's same true on the outbound side. Sometimes it just makes it so much easier to talk about it than it is to have, I don't know, 100 email exchanges or, you know, the contacts on LinkedIn or what have you. I mean, I think that it's definitely a value in itself, like you said. And I love your point about NASA, because I always say that lead generation is not an exact science and we're not NASA. So that's really funny that you mentioned that too. So awesome.
Yeah, and then also to add to that, and I remember, you know, you always, you know, provide us the example about the car and, you know,
oh my gosh, you know, I recorded videos. I said those examples so many times that there's actually a blog post on our resource library that does that example of the car and the boat. So they're out there. They're on the resource library website that we've got at mediadev.com. So yeah, I still use those. But now you can watch my video instead of having to repeat it for the 900 millionth time.
Yeah, and actually, you know, thank you for that example, because I'm also using that with my, you know, my.
Oh, that's home. Awesome! Oh my God, that's yeah, so like, awesome! I'm so flattered.
I was actually, but I kind of, you know, put it in a way where, you know, I tell them that telemarketing is, you know, can be attributed to a car salesman, right? So, you know, you don't sign up for a free trial for a car and, you know, have a robot, you know, drive it for you. You know, you got to go there and, you know, have human to human connection with this car salesman, and, you know, you need to have the conversation, calls and things like that, in order to come to a decision that you're going to purchase the car. So, you know, I just remember that out of nowhere.
Oh my God, that's so awesome. Yeah, thank you. That's really funny. That makes me laugh that it actually had an impact and somebody uses it themselves. I'm really glad that that could serve you because I still use those examples. Now I just tell people that they have to watch the video though because I got tired of saying it so many times. But that's so great. Is there anything else that you'd like to share today? I really appreciate all of your insights. They're really so, so interesting and spot on for our listeners. But is there anything else you wanted to share before we sign off today?
Yeah, I'd like to close out by saying that, you know, everyone has the equal opportunity to achieve their goals and dreams as long as you also help other people achieve, you know, what they want. This quote of Muhammad Ali is always my mantra is, you know, your service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth. So, you know, that's really, I think, yeah, if everyone would just think that way, you know, I think the world will be a better place. And then lastly, you know, be so good in your, you know, in what you're doing that, you know, they cannot ignore you. And, you know, you'll see that opportunities will come actually to you as opposed to, you know, you trying to find different types of opportunities to work on. So
that's amazing. I love that. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Joseph. This has been a great, great talk. And for those of you who would like access to other interesting podcasts and the video about the car example we talked about today, please check out our resource library at mediadev.com or don't hesitate to shoot me an email at contact@mediadev.com. I'd be happy to tell you my story about the car example if you are interested in hearing about it on a one-on-one phone call. So thanks again, Joseph. Have a really great rest of day. Thanks again.
Thank you, Liz.